These efforts from North African countries demonstrate that they are increasingly worried about the situation. The risk of a regional escalation is certainly obvious. I would say there are two key points at the beginning of the way to a political solution. The first one is to overcome the failed Shkirat agreement. It is not evident, it's not clear to me, how this agreement, which has been rejected over the years, could be now accepted in the east or in the south of Libya. And the second key point is to find a formula for a fair distribution of the oil revenues between the three historic provinces and for common needs on the state level. I would say an immediate restart of the oil production and oil exports are required, but all revenues must be deposited on an escrow bank account somewhere abroad or on the current foreign bank account, but under international supervision. The money must remain there until there is an agreement on such a formula, and it could be discussed that there could be an exception to withdraw money to cover the urgent needs of the National Oil Corporation with regard to maintenance and, of course, for fighting the coronavirus.
The U.S. is increasingly worried about the rising Russian influence in Libya. What role do you see for the U.S. in this Libyan conflict?
I would say the United States could have a key role in convincing the international backers of both sides. We must not forget that Turkey on one side and Egypt on the other side, as well as the Arabic Emirates, are key allies of the United States in the region. I would say the United States must understand that Turkey is certainly in Libya and also not in Syria, a bulwark against the Russians. They will never ever be able or willing to kick out the Russians of Syria or of Libya. So it's necessary for the United States also to be realistic of what's going on right now, and they should discuss with the respective leaders and convince them to support such a solution, such a ceasefire plan as outlined now by Stephanie Williams.
But we are seeing more diplomatic involvement for the U.S. and Libya with both sides of the war.
Yes, exactly. Just recently, there was an American low-profile delegation in Benghazi discussing with the leadership of the LNA about an eventual ceasefire. And what I've told before about demand of the Libyan National Army that Turkey needs to withdraw entirely from Libya, this is what they've heard in Benghazi. As said, the United States should use the leverage to convince especially the international backers of both sides. Because if Turkey, Egypt and the Emirates support such a peace plan, it will be difficult for the GNA and the HOR, respectively the LNA and the Operation Volcano, to reject such a plan.
But the U.S. still objecting to appoint a new UN envoy in Libya. How do you explain that?
I would say it is quite difficult to find someone who is really suitable for this task. At the beginning, there was a discussion to appoint someone from Algeria, which would, from his profile, certainly be a very good choice. But it is not in the tradition of the United Nations to appoint someone from a neighboring country. So for the time being, as far as I know, there is no real suitable person which was brought up, which could be accepted by everyone. On the other side, the proposal of the United States to appoint not only a head of UNSMIL, but also something like a chief negotiator, are not very helpful. We need to be aware that Stephanie Williams' terms as a deputy head of mission and now acting head of UNSMIL ends in October. So it would be certainly useful to have someone as a new head of UNSMIL in the office, let's say in August or at the latest early September.